Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sidorek, and I am super excited to bring our next guest because I'm a huge fan. Comedian and Massachusetts native Pete Holmes is here.
I'm not on the Game of Thrones. Although there was a guy who looked like me on Game of Thrones, and he died.
That's true. Very
early. Somebody told me I died on Game of Thrones.
Pete's HBO show, Crashing, recently wrapped up its third and final season. It's a semi-biographical look at his life as a young comedian in New York City, struggling to make it while also navigating divorce, coming to terms with his Christian faith, and finding his comedic voice. And in his new memoir...
That's too many things.
I know. That's a lot of
that's
things.
Too many things.
You
well, that's like life.
Gracefully.
But usually a show's about like one thing. That's three things. That's a lot things. Of things.
Speaking of three things, your new memoir, Comedy, Sex, God.
Thank you for saying it correctly.
You also give us a deeper look at your childhood, growing up in a religious household in Lexington, how you grappled with your faith and
Lexington.
Sex and budding passion for comedy, and even a summer job reenacting the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, there's. I didn't think about it. There's a lot of Massachusetts in
absolutely.
There. Any Cry Innocent fans out there? Hark!
Here to talk about all of that is the immortal Pete Holmes. Pete, welcome to Radio Boston.
Ooh, immortal. I like that. You're divine too, Chris.
Well, thank you.
We're all a piece of infinity.
And I have to remind you, right at the top, this is NPR, so I'm going to ask you to use your Gordon College approved vocabulary.
I'll try and use my NPR. I love NPR. But whenever I listen to people, like I heard Terry Gross interview, I think it was Viggo Mortensen, and he was doing perfect NPR voice.
Right.
You know, just like not trying to. I know they edit it too, but it was like not too much effort, not too much flailing or wailing. So I'm going to try and be.
Well, That's it.
Wonderful to be here, Chris. You know, growing up in Boston, I think it's a funny place. You know, the weather.
So I do want to ask you about growing up in the area, because I had discovered you as a comedian before I realized you were from the area.
Yeah.
And I knew that
my driver, Dennis, is from Newton. Everybody funny is from Newton.
There's always a Massachusetts
it's
connection.
All Newton,
man.
Conan, BJ Novak.
So I was curious, though, because your faith is such a big part of your background, and I just kind of assumed you were probably from the South somewhere or somewhere where there's
more
concentrated
religion. I have to say I'm from Boston, because if I say Lexington, this is real. It's not a joke. They think I mean Kentucky. Because I look corn-fed.
What was that like, though, growing up?
I'm baked bean-fed, damn it. Can I say damn it? Darn it.
Yeah, you said it. So,
I said it. It happened. Well, you can say damn it.
You know.
As long as don't say the deity that's doing it.
It's more
fine.
Of a can and should argument.
You know. Oh, I see. That's nice. We're into ethics already. So what was your question?
So I was just asking about kind of growing up with that religious background in an area like this where it's maybe not as common. Did you feel...
Oh, I know. Well, you know, Boston's a weird place, wouldn't you agree? We're sort of like, we have parts of us that are super intellectual with your MITs and your Harvards. I went to Cambridge Friends School, which is like a very, you know, forward-thinking, I suppose, liberal Quaker school. And then there's parts of us that do remind me of the South. You have both sort of overlaying on each other.
Right.
And then you have the roads that were built for horse and buggy. You know, I came into South Station. It took me – I just arrived. I got in yesterday, and I just got to the studio now. I'm seeing the traffic.
Oh, yeah.
There's no city planning.
Right.
And there's tons of snow and coldness and all that stuff. So I think this is one of the reasons why Boston's such a funny place. But when it comes to religion in Boston, I was thinking about this on the way over. There's such a strong sense of identity here, more than other places. I really believe that. My mom and dad and I went out to dinner, and I counted – well, I wasn't counting, but it seemed like everybody was wearing either a Bruins, Patriots, or a Red Sox something.
Yeah.
Not too many Celtics, but I saw Bruins a lot.
Celtics season ended pretty badly.
It's okay. See? Well, fair weather. Well, rainy weather fans. And there was such a sense of identity that – and I these are my people. I love them. But I never really felt super at home here. And when I do comedy, stand-up comedy in Boston, I'll talk to the crowd about that. And there's thousands of us. There's so many people that, like, we're not good at driving. I can't fix a flat tire or change a fan belt. All these things that Boston sort of takes pride in. I'm also – I can't build a robotic arm. I can't, like, you know, I'm not a Harvard professor.
Right,
all these
right.
different things. So it's like we knew there was just something that didn't quite fit. I liked it. But I didn't like – I wasn't a Red Sox fan. I wasn't a South fan, any of that. So you start asking – the fundamental spiritual question of all religions is, who am I? Because you have Boston saying, well, you're a Bostonian.
Right, right.
You're a New Englander.
You're from here and you should love it.
That's what my dad would say. If I went to my dad, if I climbed a mountain like a New Yorker cartoon and my father was sitting there in a toga, cross-legged, wearing a Red Sox hat, and I said, Guru, who am I? He'd say, what are you talking about? You're Peter.
Your mother's from Southie. I'm from Somerville. What the hell? And you're a Red Sox fan. You're a Patriots fan. Tom Brady.
Like, there's so much identity sort of thrown over us like a quilt. And all of spirituality, as I understand it, is realizing while that can be fun and there's nothing wrong with it, it's not who you really are.
Right.
So when you say you're the immortal Pete Holmes, I'm sort of with you. I don't think Pete Holmes is immortal. But what is the part of us that is an inherent and dignified piece of everything? If I can make one spiritual point.
Sure.
Alan Watts has this brilliant thing. You and I both just had babies.
Yes.
So
how'd you know that?
I know everything. I'm immortal.
That's right. That's right.
The idea that we look at things kind of differently than they do in the Far East. He says we don't come into this world. Like, your baby didn't come into this world. Your baby came out of this world. So you're kind of already, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn God's love. You are God's love. And I know God is a touchy word. It's been used to murder and maim and kill. It's horrible. I get it. But for brevity's sake, I'll say God. You're God's love. You're the mystery's love. You're this is love. And we don't need all of these fancy identities. We don't need, I'm a fan of this. I like the first two Christopher Nolan Batman movies. I like True Detective seasons 1 and 3. That's all just preferences.
Right.
But it's all on fire, as Buddha would say. It's all passing. And all of spirituality is trying to say, who are you behind all of that? But if I may, I know I'm monologuing. Why? Why identify with that? Because that's where peace is. The true, like, anxiety. I was an anxious kid. I had a bald spot on the side of my head. I went to Lexington High School. I was freaking out. It was so intense. It's so much pressure. The only peace that I've found is by identifying with your spirit or with your consciousness, with your awareness, if we want to demystify the language. That's where joy is and that's where peace is.
Yeah, and you talk a lot in the book about kind of grappling with your faith and kind of where that fit in your identity.
Yeah.
I was really struck as I was reading about kind of the stakes of it. When you're talking about you're a kid, you're trying to find your place in this world,
yeah,
and you're told if you don't follow these rules, you're going to burn
in
agony forever.
Well, that's what religion...
I mean, that's pretty intense.
Religion has sort of become like a sports team, to be honest. It's either Red Sox, Yankees, you know what I mean? It's us or them.
Right.
And I make this point all the time. Richard Rohr, the great Franciscan, made this point where religion, he taught me this, religion means religio. Religio is like ligament, reconnect. It's supposed to unify and wake us up to our fundamental participation with one another, our inherent thisness and our worthiness and our, I've already said it, but like what we've turned it into is us versus them, in or out.
Right.
And have you ever noticed that the group that you're in is always the one that's in?
Right, right.
I know you, this is NPR. We already know this. I'm preaching to the converted. Everybody knows this. But this is why it's so embarrassing to be religious. You tell somebody that you believe in God, all they're hearing, and rightly so, is I think being gay is wrong. I think being Muslim or Jewish or atheist or anything that's not me is wrong. And that is like we've lost it. People were drawn to Jesus. People chased after Buddha. These guys weren't going, and these great women, St. Teresa of Avila, all these great saints weren't saying, join us or die. I was just
I'm curious because that was the theme that came up in your show, Crashing.
Yeah.
There was a moment where you're on this Christian comedy tour and your New York comedian pal, played by Jessica Kirsten, basically runs into you. And,
yes.
And your character on the show, which, as I said, is a semi-biographical depiction,
yep,
is embarrassed by this. So I want to play a little cut of that and have you react.
I'm not. I mean, that's how I was raised, and it's so nice. It's so nice. You should see, we have a tour bus. We get our own bunks. I play big theaters now with fans.
And awesome.
Sign autographs. Everybody's friendly. And the money, I mean.
Listen, you don't have to sell me, but now I'm dying to know. How much money?
It's $1,000 a show.
I would sell my soul to Jesus for that.
He doesn't buy souls. The devil...
I don't know him at
it's
all.
It's either fiddle contests or cash with the
Got
devil.
Got it.
But Jesus, it's just a handshake agreement.
So, great line there. But I'm curious...
That was a riff.
Oh, really?
Oh, of course.
Oh,
all
that's
the
great.
Best lines are
that's
riffs.
Great.
I'm just trying to make Jessica laugh. And that's a real laugh.
That's fantastic.
We kind of learned that from, like, Curb and all these great...
Right.
And that's Judd Apatow's style, is like, find it.
You know,
the script was pretty good.
Shoot it till it works.
But you find it.
Nice. So, was that something that was real for you, though, in the comedy scene? Were you embarrassed to talk about
totally.
Your faith?
Well, you know, so the movie, it's important to notice that Jessica Kirsten is a lesbian. She's a lesbian woman. So Pete, my character, very much like me, is on a Christian comedy tour in the past and is sitting down, breaking bread in that scene with somebody who his church told him is fundamentally wrong.
Right.
Who she is, her biology is actually wrong and casting her out of favor of the Almighty and you know, putting her in harm's way. So, of course, here's what happens is Pete meets these people, and this is what happened in my real life. And, of course, your heart opens. Your heart opens. This is why we can't stop making movies like Green Book, right, where a white racist goes on a road trip with a brilliant black man, and by the end, oh, my God, it right. turns out he's just another person, and that's just his packaging, or that's just whatever. It doesn't matter. But here's the thing. I'm so passionate about this. We need to have the conversion without the conversion experience. You know, if I won't say anybody specific, but if some close-minded relative of mine went on a road trip with a trans person, and they're transphobic, and then I'll make it even better. The trans person saves this fictional cousin's life. By the end of the road trip, my fictional cousin is going to love trans people. Their heart will open. But we don't have time, everybody. We don't have time for 3,000 road trips. You need to be converted, as Jesus says, and become as little children, and love things as they are, and say, love is such a complicated word. It doesn't mean liking. It means saying yes to it. We can love everything indiscriminately as the light. And that's the message. So Pete, on the show and in the book, I sort of make the point in the book that I became more Christ-like after I stopped being a Christian.
Interesting.
And what I meant by that was, when I was a Christian, it was all us or them.
Right.
And you told me that you had an abortion or that you were addicted to cocaine or whatever. I would be like, oh, I'd pretend to like you. But in my head, I'm like, kicking you into the Looney Tunes furnace with the pokey red guys. And now, post-traditional Christianity, I still am down with Christ. But post that, I could actually witness and say yes to somebody and just see, oh, there you are in different packaging, in different circumstances, and have all the things that the Buddha calls us to, empathy, compassion, and not rational love, not thinking about love, but being love. This is the message. This is good news.
Sounds like good news.
It's actual good news. It's not the good news that's bad news that the church is trying to tell us is good news. If you look at the scriptures, any of them, with the right lens, you'll see that they're tugging you. They're seducing you. They're asking you to come and wake up.
So I want to ask you about kind of the format of the show, Crashing. It's a look at the comedy world in a way I feel like not a lot of shows that do this are. You think of, you know, Seinfeld or Mulaney. The lives are kind of siloed from...
I'll do anybody who's
I like it. But the comedy world is kind of siloed from their standards. Upsets, and then there's their lives. And in your show, it's really about the comedy scene. You do alternative comedy, Christian comedy. There's like an apartment meetup. There's all these kinds of different aspects of it. Was that a conscious thing that you went into this project thinking, I want to show people what it's like when you're just getting going in this world?
I used to joke when we were promoting the show all the time. I was like, it's not called Flourishing. So many shows, even though I love these shows that you just mentioned, Seinfeld, he just is a comedian.
Right, exactly.
And that's the show that we needed at that time. And then I was like, I think because of podcasting and frankly, because so many more people are trying to get into the arts, I wanted to make a show where the central message was, if it's difficult or if it stinks, you're doing it right. Like, welcome to the family.
Right.
Because all of that necessary suffering that it takes to become a comedian and it takes to become a realized full person, I wanted something that says, like, you're not alone. This you're on the path. It's supposed to be this difficult path.
All right, so I got a ton of stuff I would love to ask you, but we're quickly running out of time here. So I'll ask you about something you started with at the top, that you've just become a new dad.
Yeah.
Has that changed you as an artist? What's that experience been like for you?
Well, you know, a big part, it's towards the end. But so this book that I wrote, which is basically the fourth season of Crashing, it's called Comedy, Sex, God, as you mentioned. It's like the fourth and fifth seasons of Crashing, with a recap if you didn't see it. But it's my story, and it ends with having a baby. And the chapter about my baby, and I think you'll relate as a father, is called Luminous Emptiness. And this is the idea that my baby is sort of what you could call like a realized being. She just is. When Moses asks God what his name is, God says, I am. So God is I am-ness. And then we put all these labels on top of it. I'm from Boston. I'm all that stuff. It's all false self, as Freud and Jung would say. It's baloney. It's on fire, as Buddha would say. It's gone. So my baby is light and emptiness. She just is. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like hanging out with a realized being. She just is.
It's crazy.
And that's why I wrote this book, to sort of steer people back to, again, to reference Christ. He's saying, lest ye be converted and become as little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying, it's not a philosophy. It's not a belief system. How could it be? He's saying, open up, lighten up, be like our babies, and say yes to this crazy, sometimes terrible, and sometimes breathtakingly beautiful reality. That's the secret.
Comedian Pete Holmes' new memoir is called Comedy Sex God.
I wasn't funny at all.
Which he'll be talking about tomorrow at WBUR City Space. I disagree. There's more information about that at our website, radioboston.org. Pete Holmes, thank you so much for coming
There's
in.
There's that music. Old people music.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston's a production of 90.9 WBUR.
I like it.